From one Alex to another, Alex Apple joining me today. Alex Doherty joining Alex Apple and me now with A to Z Sports. He's at Alex Doherty 1. Alex, very few times does somebody in sports get to have some kind of storybook ending. But son of a gun, did Pecorine ever get to have the most glorious walk-off of anybody that you'll see around here in a long time? That's a night that Preds fans will not soon forget.
It really isn't, and I've seen some pretty amazing things at Bridgestone Arena in terms of the Preds, All-Star games, Cup finals, President's Trophy presentations, all that stuff. I really don't think that this. I think this tops really all of them in terms of just the environment, the sort of standard that the Preds brought, the fans brought to that situation, considering that, you know, it wasn't really official, you know? I mean, it's not like Pecorine had an announcement and said, this is my last game, and you know, the team didn't do anything official for it, you know, like they would normally do for a kind of a situation like this. So for how organic and real it was, it was among the most special things I've seen in that arena. And I think the other thing about it is, you know, for a goaltender to get that, you know, it's one thing if it's a, you know, a skater who has a couple good shifts, maybe even gets a goal, but to play the entire 60 minutes, get 30 saves, get your 60th shutout, and also, by the way, have some pretty incredible saves. I mean, he had some highlight reel saves in that performance. That is so rare for a goaltender to get that kind of a performance. I wrote about this at A to Z Sports National. You can read it there. It was a perfect ending. I mean, the only thing more perfect would be if they won the cup on home ice and he gets to skate around with it over his head.
Yeah. And they had to win a game really to even clinch, to set up that opportunity for him, because I think you would have had to roll with UC Saros. He would have never gotten that moment had they not won to set it up, which that made everything even more perfect was all the work that his teammates made that they did to get that moment.
Exactly. All the pieces fell into place, and there were a lot of people who were wondering if it was going to happen, you know, late last week when they knew they were going to have to beat Carolina, which they hadn't done all year. It was a crazy situation. And again, I think the ending, the victory lap that he took, you know, it was so out of character for him. And he talked about that after the game that, you know, he doesn't like the spotlight on himself, but I'm so glad that it happened, and I'm so glad that they got the opportunity. Even if, you know, he plays in the playoffs, and even if he plays well in the playoffs, he probably won't get another situation to do that. He won't get another opportunity to do that. So really, really glad for Pecorine, who is just an absolute legend. You know, he's such a great guy, so awesome to talk to. And it was an incredible night at Bridgestone.
Alex Doherty joins us from A to Z Sports. He is at Alex Doherty 1. You can read all of his work, like the aforementioned work on Pecorine. Always great stuff from Alex as he joins us here on Blaine and Mickey.
Alex, good to talk to you. Alex Apple here, too. Do you really think Pecorine is done, though? Isn't it kind of odd? I mean, I think he's got some juice left in the tank, and I'm not convinced that he's ready to hang it up.
Yeah, that's the thing that everyone's asking now. I mean, obviously, you know, a 38-year-old goaltender goes out and puts a 30-save shutout on a team that can score goals. Yeah, exactly. It's a great question. I mean, is he actually done? I mean, he has not indicated that he is done. He has not said that he's not done. So it's all circumstantial based on the fact that he doesn't have a contract. You know, normally in the past, he's negotiated his extensions on his contracts well early in the season. So you feel like if he would have wanted to sign another one, he would have done it already. But it doesn't mean that he, you know, he could wait. He could absolutely wait until after the expansion draft. Maybe that's what he's waiting for. Maybe he wants to just test the market and see. He's told people that he wants to retire as a Nashville Predator. You know, you never know what's really in someone's heart, but it seems like he's probably genuine about that. There are rumors. I wrote about this on our website as well, azsportsnashville.com. I wrote about how there's a newspaper in Finland that talked about they were in talks with him to sign there after the end of the season. So, I feel like my gut tells me I'm probably 75% sure that he's probably played, that this will be his last year as a Nashville Predators goalie, but I'm not 100% sure.
Alex, let me hit you with this too, because I was on Twitter earlier. at Alex Apple underscore, but I was talking with some folks about John Hines' contention that it's possible he goes in. And now this is a team that if that would be a big upset if they beat Carolina, right? They have turned their season around miraculously to make it to this point, but would go into the Carolina series not playing Ellie Tolbert. Probably their brightest young definitely their brightest young offensive player that is currently playing minutes for them. Don't you have to and want to get that guy some seasoning in games that matter most? I mean, shouldn't we still have our eye on that? Were you surprised to hear John Hines say that?
You know, honestly, I'm a little surprised that he would say it ahead of the game. You know, one thing that Peter Laviolette was notorious for and that we're sort of starting to get used to now is Laviolette would never indicate
name the goalie.
Whether or not someone.
Yeah,
he wouldn't even name a goalie. He wouldn't name who was going to play or who wasn't. He just said he's going to make some lineup decisions. Well, John Hines is very different. And as a media member, I appreciate that. It is interesting that he would say that he's, you know, he sort of indicate that he's leaning that direction. You know, I think Tolvanen, he obviously has not looked the same since he came back from his injury. And the fact that he didn't practice today also makes me think this could just be injury-related, just precaution. Maybe lighting a fire under the guy. I kind of don't think that you really need to do that at this point because, you know, you're playing for the playoffs. But also, there's just so many other pieces that he can fit in there. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi, who hadn't played in, I think, 20 days or something, he went out there and proved that he wants to be in the lineup. And, yeah. You know, a guy like that with a lot of speed, countering Carolina's speed, I don't see any reason why Rocco Grimaldi couldn't go out there and play well against Carolina, too. The other thing I'll mention is John Hines also talked about how, you know, each lineup is probably going to be different. And I think that there's a chance that game one, Tolvanen's not in there, but game two, if they steal game one, maybe they go try Tolvanen in game two and he plays well. So I don't think it's necessarily that you're going to see, that you won't see Tolvanen in this series at all.
Alex Doherty joins Alex Apple and me here on Blaine and Mickey. Matt Duchene had a nice end of the season. A lot of people kind of buzzing about his final performance. He was part of a huge upset when Columbus knocked off Tampa Bay. That was a sweep of a 1-8.
Yeah.
Can he help lead another one? I mean, could he be a key player, maybe?
It's really interesting to think about, isn't it? Because he was also incredible in that series. I mean, he was like a point per game player. He scored big goals in that series. And Columbus, you know, I think had been waiting for that kind of a performance. And here we are. Nashville Predators fans are waiting for that kind of a performance. Could he step into that? And then of course, naturally, he plays really well in the last two games of the season against Carolina. It does lean that direction. I think for Duchene and for the Predators, it's going to come down to what is his line going to look like? Because he has been kind of thrown down on that third line, the sort of leftover centers line with Eric Halla and Nick Cousins and Brad Richardson, all these guys who are kind of more centers, but they're all kind of playing together. I mean, it's not that those guys are not talented, but if Duchene's playing with someone like Tolvanen or Arvidsson or Forsberg, of course, you know, he probably is able to get a few more points on the season because he's got the kind of skill to match with those guys. So, you know, could Duchene come in and surprise people in the line that he's playing with? Sure. I think more likely Duchene gets better minutes with better teammates, if that makes any sense. So his line mates improve, and therefore he improves. I think that's probably more likely. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Duchene plays top 6 minutes as opposed to middle 6 minutes in the first couple games of this series because – they know what that guy's capable of.
Well, Alex Doherty with us from A to Z Sports. And Alex, you know better than I. I mean, you cover this team more keenly, but I look at Matt Duchene and it's like, it is what it is. The guy is what his stats say he is at this point. And so I'm a little more dubious than you on his ability. I don't just think he was that. I don't know why he was so much better when he played with Artemi Panarin, but I don't think it was only because of Artemi Panarin when we're talking about when he was with Columbus. Let me ask you this. Let's look ahead off season because the Predators still have a problem and it's the $15 million they're doling out for the two guys down the middle that don't play like $15 million, like $8 and $7 or $8 and $8 million players respectively, in Johansson and Matt Duchene. A little bit of a unique opportunity here. Can you get the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft to take one of those big contracts off your hands? The likelihood of that is what?
A lot higher than people think it is. And I've actually been kind of working on something in the background relating to the expansion draft, because based on everything that we've heard from David Poile relating to how he's going to tackle the expansion draft, first of all, it sounds just light years different from how he was handling the 2017 one, where he didn't know who he was going to protect and he was trying to work something out with Vegas. He sounds very confident that he's already got it figured out, and he's already got a plan in place for maybe who Seattle's going to take because of what kind of deal he's going to make. And everyone seems to be pointing at one of the two players you just mentioned, Johansson or Duchene, the two $8 million centers. I mean, and here's what I'll say. Which one of those two is used as you would an $8 million center? It's Ryan Johansson. He's used as a top-line center. Matt Duchene is not. As I just mentioned, he's used as a leftover center on that third line, and maybe he'll get bumped up, maybe he won't. But, I mean, if I were to put money down on one of those two going to Seattle, it would be Duchene right now. I don't have any inside information on that being the case, but, I mean, I could see that happening because of how the two players are used. I think they like – the fact that, well, first of all, Johansson's term is not as long as Duchene's. And also, Johansson has a better history of working with guys like Forsberg and Arvidsson and Tolvanen. And so, yeah, I think there's – you asked me if the likelihood of that happening is high. I really do think it's pretty high, of one of those two going to Seattle.
Alex Doherty joining Alex Apple and me. Can you see Staros stay as hot as he's been now that the spotlight gets a lot hotter and a lot brighter?
You know, I do think he can, and I'm gonna plug my writing one more time, because I wrote about this just very recently that there are three ways that this team, this Predators team, can beat the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are in order of importance. The number one most important is that the Predators' best player, Juuse Saros, is still their best player. If he does what he's done for the last 2 months and the last 23 starts, I think it is, they can actually pretty easily win this series. I mean, they go in and steal a game or two in Carolina. I mean, they could win this thing in five. And I know that seems crazy, but, you know, this team also swept the Chicago Blackhawks 4 years ago. That seems crazy. So if Juuse Saros, I mean, goaltending can steal series, can steal games and steal series in the NHL playoffs. It happens every single year. You saw it with Jonathan Quick in 2012. You saw it with Jordan Bennington a couple years ago. You've seen it many times over. I mean, it's not all that rare. Matt Murray, the whole reason he got a big contract is because he basically helped the Penguins win a couple of cups, even with Marc-Andre Fleury on the team. So, yeah, I mean, goaltending is the name of the game, in my opinion. And, you know, the Carolina has a really good tandem of goalies, Peter Mrazek and Alex Nedeljkovic, who's a rookie. Both of those players combined are probably better than what the Predators have. But I would take Juuse Saros out of all three of those players. I would absolutely keep – I would want Juuse Saros in my net if I'm an NHL coach picking between those three players right now.
All right, Alex, real quick. It's about to be Call Your Shot time by Chattanooga Whiskey here on Blaine and Mickey. Call Your Shot, this series, how's it going to shake out?
Well, actually, I talked about this on our podcast recently. I think that the Predators win it. I really do. I think that they can go in and, as an underdog, play confident on the road and probably win a couple games, win one of the two first games. And I think they could win this thing in six, which would mean they would clinch the series at home in game six. So I'm going with the Predators in six. I don't usually go out on any limbs. And I actually don't take shots anymore. I know they just call your shot thing, but I feel pretty confident.
That's a limb. That's a limb, Alex. If they clinch in game six in front of a full Bridgestone or almost full Bridgestone arena, man, that would be awesome.
It would. And I think that would be something to see. And in front of just over 12,000 fans, too. So we'll have more people in the building. So that could be quite an atmosphere.
Alex, I don't know what's happened to your voice, dude, but it sounds like the devil is on board with the phone call now. That was fantastic. Let's just end on that.
We've got to get him off the air before we're all exercised here.
Thank you, Alex.
I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Okay, trust me, brother. You're going to want to check out the podcast later for this last little bit of this interview. Alex Doherty at Alex Doherty One, and the spirit that has overtaken him for the last two segments of this phone call, last two questions. A to Z Sports. Maybe he can write in that voice as well. When we come back, we will call our shot. Do you want to call the print shot? Do you want to call a Titans rookie minicamp shot? It's your world. We're just living in it. 615-737-1045 at Blaine and Mickey. 1045 The Zone.